Again, welcome to all you who might be visiting today. We're glad you're here, and for all the regulars, we're glad you came again. Just before I start into any of my comments, I would like to remind you, those who know Amy, her dad will be going in for surgery on Thursday, and we could remember Al Almond in our prayers. That the Lord would help him in his physical needs, but most of all, in his spiritual need to know him as Savior. You get up here and your mind sometimes goes blank, like it is right now. However, I know what it was. I was going to say, even though it's kind of a gloomy day out today, and has been for the last couple of days, as Mr. Goodyear would often say, that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, so we're glad you're here. Now, that's the thing I couldn't remember. Now, we'll try to get the things I do remember, because I got notes. Okay. Many times our life is full of hardships. I don't think anybody here would disagree with that. Thought. There's a lot of difficult things that we face in life as we go through it. Pressures, things that seem like they close in on us on all sides. And it's in times like these that our true character shows itself. We can put on a facade or a front, but when as it were, the rubber meets the road, that's when our true character comes out. And we exhibit who we really are. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We were in that this morning in our earlier service. And there's 40 verses to it. And I didn't know where to start or stop. So you know what? We're just going to read the whole thing. This is God's Word. It's the Bible and inspired by God. And therefore, it's all good. So let's read it all. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. And it says this in the first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. And this morning, if we were to maybe give a title to what we have to say, it would be this. They being dead, yet speaketh. Okay? And by faith, Enoch, in verse 5, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to call them their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac thy seed should be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent and valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And we're going to just stop there for right now. We'll continue the reading as we go on in a little bit. And so, as we were to look at these many, many men and women of whom he said he could go on and on about, as we read, we're going to see men and women of faith, men and women of good character, strong and both morally, ethically, spiritually, these values that these people had, and it was all based upon something that was true, you know, which would reinforce their life and help them to resist the temptations to compromise in their life. And we, as we said, they being dead, yet speak to us, okay? Perhaps you can remember in your lifetime, and mine, as I would look back, people who have influenced you, okay, with their strength and their character. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher right here at the chapel, and you found that watching them was an inspiration to you because of their character, because of their behavior. Perhaps it was a mother, a father, a parent, or even a grandparent that you would look back on. And you notice that those people, passing through hard and difficult times, maybe sorrows, okay, have shown godly character, which you've admired, and you maybe even endeavored to follow after their steps. Well, we can remember, and I want to bring to your attention, too, the best model that there ever was, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For you'll remember many incidences maybe, but perhaps we can think of this one in Pilate's hall, okay? There he was before Pilate, one of his creation, for he did create us all. And he was humbling himself before even Pilate there. And Pilate, as he looked at him, recognized his testimony, and it would only cause Pilate to say, not once, twice, but three times, I find no fault in this man, as he brought him forth before the jeering and screaming people of his day, saying, crucify him, you know, crucify him. We'll not have this man to reign over us. That was their thoughts. But Pilate had to acknowledge that there was no fault in this man, for he had character and virtue beyond all, because he was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whether Pilate realized that, I don't think so. Or he would never would have done and yielded over to the people. And we can say this, the Lord Jesus, he spoke the truth. He lived the truth, and he died the truth, because you know what he said? He says, he told his disciples, he said, I'm going to die, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And we can say, praise God that he ever liveth and maketh intercession for us even today. Because we don't serve a dead person, a leader or something like that, but rather a living God. And we can be thankful and praise God for that. And because he lives, we can live also. Now this morning, I'm not just sure why you've come. Perhaps you've come because you've been invited because of our contest and the incentives that we have up here. And maybe you've come just to sort of get the person off your back, as it were. And we're glad you're here, even if you didn't want to come. But you may be here because it's a habit, or you just think it's a thing to do Sunday morning, come to church. But whatever the reason you've come for, there's something you really need to know, and that is that God loves you, and he wants you to know something. And he wants you to know that you need his son. You need to know him in a personal way, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because in Romans 3 and verse 23, sometimes it's hard to remember things up here when you get up here, you get a little flustered, but in Romans 3:23 it says that the wages of sin are death, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can't remember which one it is now, but the problem is that the Bible tells us that we're all sinners and we need a Savior, and it's found right here in God's Word. It's not my words, and we're all sinners before a holy and a righteous God, and sin has separated us from him and his heaven and God's heaven. But he's provided a way to him, back to him, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. You know, because in John 3:16, a great verse, a verse that's special to me, it says this, and it's right over on our wall here. It says, for God so loved the world. There's so much emphasis, there's so much in that little S-O, that little world, that little word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if whosoever, and we can put our name in there, we can put in Larry or John or whatever your name is, Ruth, you can put that name in there, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should have eternal and everlasting life. Life without end. And it's really great. Jesus said of himself this, about himself this. He says, I am the way. This is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman comes unto the Father but by me, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's found in John 14:6, as he answered Thomas. But, you know, we're warned of God in his Holy Bible again. In that same book of John, in John 3:36, he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's a not wish, hope, or whatever. He hath it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But the warning comes, but he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Our plea, our prayer this morning is that you would consider this. Read God's Word. See what he has to say to you. And recognize that all of us, myself, all of us in this room today are sinners and some are saved by grace, and some are still in a lost condition headed for hell. You need to trust Christ and receive His Son, or receive Him as your personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men and women that we've been reading about this morning, men and women of faith, they believed God and received forgiveness of their sins too. And God made them men and women of great character. And that's what we want to see in our lives today as men and women, of godly men and women, character. Something that God helps us to develop and see in our lives. A few interesting things about this idea about character, and that the first one would be, is that it's only found in people. You know, you can't find virtue in nature. You can't find it in technology or anything like that, or even in material wealth. It's in humans, those that God created. You see, according to Genesis chapter 1, we're God's creation, and we bear the stamp of His image, a stamp that separates us from the animal world and gives us a built-in capacity, a built-in moral capacity as we allow God to work in our lives and help us to develop character that we need that others can see in us. It's a product of our human soul, okay? And that's the way God would have it. Another thing about this idea about character is that it's developed and proven in times of pain and suffering, unfortunately. But that's the truth of the matter. Good, strong character and virtue and all these things lots of times are developed and proven during times of pain and suffering. As we looked at other people, as we thought about looking at other examples, anybody that has this good character or strong character that we've noticed, we can also see in their life times of hardship and difficulties, things that they had to go through and endure, which developed character in them. It's quite possible this morning that you, or even I, are feeling the heat of a situation right now, okay? Perhaps in our business, it's on a rocky road. It's not going the way it should. There's a lot of pressure there. Maybe it's a marriage that's floundering or something like that. Maybe there's somebody has falsely accused you of something that's marred your testimony and your reputation. There could be physical ailments. Many would experience physical ailments that make you very confused about the whole thing. Why is this happening to me? And it gives you perhaps fear for what's ahead and what we should do, what you should do. And you might say and cry out, well, what possible good can come from all these difficulties that are happening in my life? The Apostle Paul penned these words in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. He said this, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." Our natural response to any difficulty or hardship is to take off, to leave the scene, you know, try to get away from it all. But you know what? There's no escape from difficulties in life, none whatsoever. And it's just the part of man. You know what Job said, or not Job, but one of his, quote, comforters, friends, he said this. He said, in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, "For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. Just as natural it is in a bonfire to see those sparks go up into the air, so it's natural for men and women to experience trouble and difficulties in their life." So rather than trying to escape from these things, the better plan probably is to meet these things head on and resist the temptation of feeling sorry for ourselves, which often comes with these things. Why did this happen to me? Or even to blame others. Oh, it's because of him or her that these things are happening to me. Instead of doing that, let's cooperate with the problem, the pain, and let it result in our life to develop a proven character, something that God can use in our testimony with others. Lord Jesus, again, is our model for it. For this, listen to what it was said of him. In Hebrews 5:8, it says, although he was a son, the Son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The Lord Jesus suffered many things. He was misunderstood. You know, people just didn't understand what he was trying to do. He was ridiculed. We read about that this morning, too. And he was rejected. John, the first chapter of John says that he came unto his own. This was his purpose. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But we can say, praise God. But as many as believe in him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He suffered. It's also said of the Lord Jesus Christ that the birds of the air have nests, you know, and the foxes have holes, but he didn't have any place to lay his head. He endured much suffering and much testing, and he's our example. Another thing that we want to think about character, it's not quickly acquired. It's not something you just, well, I want character, and so you say, get it. We, over the shop over here, we have a lot of breakdowns because we have a lot of old equipment. And so a part, truck breaks down, a loader or something, and we say, oh, the part isn't found locally. We can't get it. So we say, well, it's in California. Well, that's no problem. We'll just call up, overnight it, and we got it. But it's, you know, character doesn't come like overnight. It's not quite that easy. It's something developed throughout time and through testings and through difficulties. It doesn't come automatically or even by accident. It takes God's help and individual effort to develop this character that we need in our life. Being raised by good parents can start us in the right direction, but at some point, each of us need to take the responsibility for his or her own character development. Another thing about character is that it's not necessarily a permanent possession. Scriptures are there's many incidences in the scripture where men and women of character it's wilted away from their life as they became strong and confident in their own abilities. God helped them. They became men and women of character, and yet they left that. They became proud, or whatever you might say, in their own strength, and they wilted in their character, and it became a real problem for them. Reasons could be many. Some made moral compromises. There was greed, fear, stress. But the results of all these declines were the same. There was embarrassment and loss of respect and wasted potential. Men and women of character losing it, wasting the potential that they had. For the young parents here this morning, it's so important that for you to work into your young children God's values in their early years, so that they understand what God wants out of them, what God desires out of them, and they grow up so quickly. We've had five of them, and they're all grown up. You know, it don't seem that long, but that's the way it is. That's the way life is. But as young parents, even grandparents, it can help. You know, it's not quite the same because you know you can't do so much as a grandparent as you could as a parent. But as grandparents, we can help too, especially in our lifestyle and what we live before our grandchildren. But in these formative years, godly character and virtue and things like this, so that it will help them in the years to come. So it would for teachers. I think of teachers. Some of you were teachers or are teachers, but we're all teachers in a sense, because people are looking at us, listening to us. moms and dads, what we don't want to do, I don't think, is to stuff our kids full of a lot of information only, okay? Just a lot of facts and figures. It isn't so important to the that they keep up to the dress code or standard that all their peers have. Those aren't the things that are really important, but rather remember that who we are is more significant and more important than what we know, how we look. For integrity and courage are more important than image or even position. In our passage this morning, we read about familiar names to some of us, thought about Abel, thought about Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, their sons Isaac and his son and grandson, Jacob and Joseph. Thought about Moses, that reluctant person to be used by God as a deliverer of his people. And even Rahab, the harlot, used of God. Yet each one of these, even though were imperfect and had difficulties in their life, they exhibited greatness of character. And maybe this morning you've recognized that there's been failures in your life and my life as we look at it. And perhaps we think, well, because of that, I'm disqualified now from becoming what God wants me to be and my character and things like that. Consider these men again. How about Moses? Moses was a murderer. For one day he went out and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster misusing one of the children of Israel, and he slew him. He killed him. He's a murderer. Moses. Harlot. She was a prostitute. And yet Rahab, it's Rahab that was a prostitute. And yet Rahab is found in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God can use us no matter what our past failures may have been. In verse 32 of this same chapter, we read about more, like Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and some of the prophets. And the writer would say, well, the list could go on and on. There could be many many more recorded incidences, but they're all stories of faith, and they're models of greatness, of character, both through triumphs and through tragedies. And it was by faith that they conquered kingdoms, it says, performed acts of righteousness. They obtained promises. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. And from the weaknesses, they were made strong and became mighty in war, put armies to flight, and women received back their dead by resurrection. In the next part of that 35th verse, the second part, the tone of the whole passage sort of changes a little bit. And it goes from maybe a major key to a minor key, from victory to not so much victory, but more tragedy. And I'll just read the rest of the chapter at this point. And so reading from verse 35 in the middle of the verse will break in. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In our mind's eye, as we think about these last few verses we've read, we kind of makes the shivers go up and down our back. We kind of cringe at the thought of being sawn asunder. It's not a very pleasant thought. All these things that these men and women endured, men of courage, men of character, and women, for the sake of Christ and with the help of Christ. And yet from these people's graves, as it were, that have these here bodies that were maimed and broken, there comes pictures of faith and courage and character that could inspire us even as believers in this day and age in which we live to have victory and triumph in our days of difficulty and tribulations, okay? And it would help us to determine to be to follow in even in their footsteps. The writer rightly said this, that these men and women of whom the world was not worthy. And I might say, could the same be said of me? Could the same be said of you? Virtue and integrity are godly qualities beyond this world's understanding. If we're to attain to these things, we have to realize that they're not necessarily things that will give us popularity, or that we'll be misunderstood, but we need to keep going, do what we know God wants us to do, no matter even what the cost is. Another thing we can think about is consider character is that it tends to flourish as we get older in our lives, as we develop. I guess that's only natural, because it's through our life that we develop these things of character. So it's important that as three things we'd like to remember here as we're finishing up is that for parents, young parents, and for us as grandparents to train our children while they're young, teach them that good character is what truly matters in life, even more than good grades or good win-loss success in our sports. These are the things that are important, good character. Another thing about character is it seems even more possible as we recognize it and see it in other people. And if that's the case, then let us be a good example of good character as we've developed it. Don't let it wither away or fade. Keep close to God. And another thing to understand, I think, about character is that character can withstand difficult times as it's developed in times when things are not quite so difficult. Many of us here have had opportunity to be in construction, and we could say this, that it's a lot easier to lay a foundation in the sunshine, we'll say. I'm mixing it up from what I got here, but it's hard to lay a foundation when it's raining out. That's what I wanted to get first. It's difficulty. It adds difficulty to the job. But so we're saying don't wait until the storms and the rain come in our life to develop these areas of character, because the best time to build it is in the sunlight. Foundation. And then we want to remember too that all these acts of courage and strength are possible for each of us, even though perhaps we've had areas of failure in our life and we might wonder if we could ever be used and exhibit character in our life, but they're all possible with God. Verse 6, kind of a key verse to this whole idea, and to as we approach God and what He would desire out of us. But it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our prayer this morning, those of us here at the chapel who know Christ as Savior, is that if you've never sought out God, if you've never tried to please Him, that you would recognize your need to do so, because there's one day coming when each of us will give account of ourselves before a holy and a righteous God, the very one that created us and even sustains us today. So we trust that you'll take these thoughts. If you're here without Christ, you might consider that, understand that, and receive him. And if we're believers, that we'll go on to develop good character in our life and be a good example to others around us. Now we're just going to close in a word of prayer, and then you'll be dismissed.